remember what we're studying on Sunday mornings. It's been so long. John, you know, you answer it every time, but what is it?
James,
okay, open your Bibles to the book of James. So on Wednesdays, basically, I want to be going through books of the Bible. And Wednesdays we've been going through Job, and on Sundays we've been going through James. And I think it would be good for us to do a little bit of review, especially if this is your first time here going through James. Who remembers who wrote the book of James? Okay, and you guys, all right, you guys can answer. I want to hear answers from. Okay, Haley. No, okay. You know who wrote James. It was James. But maybe you can give me some details on who James was. What are some things, some characteristics of James? Go ahead, John. Yes, yeah, Jesus' half-brother, because Jesus was born of Mary, virgin, and Joseph wasn't his earthly father. Okay, he was conceived by the Spirit. So half-brother of Jesus. And did James believe while Jesus was walking on earth?
No.
No. Okay, which is incredible. It must have been hard to have this brother who's walking around and proclaiming this new gospel that the kingdom is here, and he's teaching people and saying he's the Messiah. And James is like, I don't believe any of that. But when did James believe? Do you remember what event just opened up his eyes to it? Yeah, so I actually can't say that for sure, but Jesus did appear to James. It says that in the Bible, that Jesus appeared to James after his resurrection, and that may have been, very well been the time that James realized, whoa, okay, my brother died, and now he came back to life. Maybe he is who he says he is, or definitely he is who he says he is, okay? The audience, it says that it was written to the 12 tribes in dispersion. Can anybody explain what that means to me? Anybody remember? Go ahead, John.
Mm-hmm. All of the church spread out.
Yep, particularly Jews, because early on in the church, it was particularly a Jewish faith because it started in Jerusalem, and persecution happened, and people spread out. And so James is centered in Jerusalem, one of the main leaders of the church, and he's writing to these Jewish Christians scattered abroad. They're struggling to stay with the faith, and James says, "Hey, this is serious. Here's some reminders." All right, so what happens is it's very practical because it's an early book that was written in the church. So a lot of the controversies that Paul has to deal with, they haven't really developed yet. You haven't seen a lot of hard things and divisions in the church. It's just James saying, look, here's how it is, and this is the way you need to live if you're a Christian, and let me encourage you to do that. And that's really helpful for us because there's a time for wrestling with theology and thinking through deep things. But it is also helpful when James just comes forward and is like, look, if you're a Christian, man, here's how you live, okay? And the overarching theme, basically, he gives us two ways to live. Do you guys remember what the two different ways are? It has to do with wisdom. There's one type of wisdom that's good, and there's one type of wisdom that's bad. Haley.
Yeah.
Yes, good, okay? So a big theme in James is that heavenly wisdom shows itself in a living faith. Okay, a living faith. And we describe living faith as a faith that works. So a faith that it's not that you come to Christ and then suddenly, okay, now I can do what I want. And this is consistent in Paul and when he writes in his letters, and it's consistent with James. Look, if you're a Christian, you've been changed. The Holy Spirit has come to live within you. All right, so if you're sitting here and you've claimed to make a call to Christ to be saved, the Holy Spirit's in you, and that should change you. And James is very concerned with that. And so he says, if you're going to be wise, here are some ways that you should live. Last time we opened this book, we talked about heavenly wisdom can be seen in a Christian's response to trials. Okay, and I was just saying, I was praying about it and just thinking about it. It's like, man, we're in Job, which is about wisdom and trials. We opened up James, and it's about wisdom and trials. And I wasn't actually entirely thinking about that when I started those book studies. And it's just amazing. Like, it seems like these are some similar topics that keep coming up. And so for me, it's like, okay, maybe I need to be studying this. For you, maybe you need to be hearing this. And I hope that to come on to it again is helpful. So when we talked about a Christian's response to trials, do you remember how we're supposed to respond last time we talked? And it was really amazing. Like, why would we ever respond that way? Do you remember? He says, count it all joy. Good. Okay. So we're actually supposed to rejoice in our trials. And it's like, what in the world? How can a Christian respond to trials? James, you started your book and you're telling me to rejoice when hard things happen. It doesn't make any sense. And we saw it's because It's because trials, God uses them to produce steadfastness in us and to give us endurance. And as we endure, we're becoming more and more mature to be like Christ. And that's a very good thing to know that God is in control. And it's been awesome to talk to more than one of you in youth group since that sermon and say, hey, like, I'm going through trials, and can you pray for me? And can we talk about this? And so I hope that, again, as we stay on this topic, that it's helpful to continue to think through it. And even though that we're being matured, we're not ever going to be perfect in this life, we know that we can trust God with the hard things. And we've seen that over and over again with Job as well. Okay, so now we are in a new section of our topic, but I'm going to suggest that the topic stays the same. So listen to this. John Horning, could you read, of chapter 1 of James, could you read verses 2, 3, and 4, which is last week's? And then I'm going to have, Ethan, can you read verse 12 of James chapter 1 after John reads? I want you to listen to these similarities. Go ahead, John. 2, 3, and 4, nice and loud.
Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing.
All right, now Ethan, read verse 12.
Blessed is a man who perseveres under trial, for once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him.
Okay, good. If you were listening, did you hear any similar themes in those verses? And you can look at it again. Someone tell me something that they see that's similar between verses 2 through 4 and verse 12. Yeah. Yeah, trials, okay? And let me tell you a few other ones. It says trials, talks about testing of faith, talks about steadfastness. So my suggestion is that this whole section here, verses 1 through probably about verse 15, that the main kind of connecting theme is trials. And so as we get to our next section, even though it's going to be slightly different, it's going to be talking about asking for wisdom, I would suggest that it's the emphasis is asking for wisdom in trials. So basically, this section is, we can talk about it in sense of how we can respond to trials. Last time we saw, rejoice. Think about the end of your trials. Rejoice, because it's creating maturity in you. It's creating steadfastness. And today, we're going to talk about another response, and that's ask for wisdom. Okay? So last time, rejoice. This time, ask for wisdom. Okay? Ask for wisdom. Let me read our passage, and then we'll start studying it. So I'll start in verse 4 just to give us kind of a little bit of a run-in, and then we'll do 5 through 8. Let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Okay? Basically, what we're going to see here is a very, very simple call from James. Very simple. It's very straightforward. And yet, sometimes we miss it. And I think of, sometimes I'm like this at home. I'm looking for something in the cupboard. You know, I'm making a snack for myself. Or I'm looking for some ingredient. I'm looking in the cupboard. And it's like, can't find it. Where is it? And I called Beth in the other room, and she comes in, and she like immediately walks in, opens the cupboard, and is like, it's right here, give it to me, you know? And it's like, I was like, how did you see that? She's like, you just have to look, okay? If you just looked, you would have seen it, you know? And it's so simple, it's so straightforward. It's like, yeah, you're right. If I just had been a little more observant, maybe I would have seen this ingredient that I needed. And that's kind of what James is saying. Like, look, it's so simple. And yet we miss it all the time. We miss it all the time. And that's okay if you can recognize it and start seeking to change it, okay? So the main point we're going to see today as we think about responding to trials is that when we recognize our lack of wisdom, James calls us simply to ask God for it, and he will give it. He will give it, okay? When we lack wisdom, ask God for it, and he will give it. Okay, if I were to say, what is wisdom, when we've been talking about it, what are some things that come to mind? Give me like a simple definition of wisdom, if you can. Haley?
God's word.
Okay, God's word. So that would be the source. We know that wisdom certainly is found in God's word. Good. Anything else? Any other ideas that come to mind? John?
I've always heard like
skillful living, good to deal with situations in the right way.
Yeah, so we got the source in God's word. How it plays out in our lives is a skillful living. And not just skill like, man, I'm skilled at like basketball, but discerning, being able to say, okay, here's a situation, I know it's true, now how should I live? So think about it this way. It's an ability to live righteously and truthfully and discerningly in light of what you know to be true. So it's not, we can have a lot of head knowledge, but if we don't act out on it, then that's not really wisdom. So wisdom also involves knowing things, but then living it in a certain way. So as we study this passage and look about how can we find this wisdom, we're just going to ask four questions from this text. It's going to help us understand this whole process. Okay, four questions. First question, when should we ask for wisdom? Look at verse 5. It says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God. Okay, if any of you lacks wisdom. Okay, James, in his straightforward way, very clear, here's the situation. When should you ask for wisdom? As we talk about the idea of trials, if any of you lack wisdom. So remember, last time we talked about the fact that trials, their goal, what they're pushing us for is maturity, and he even uses the word perfection, which is the ideal, but he knows that we are weak. He knows that perfection is not going to be attained in this life. And so he says, okay, look, let this endurance that you're supposed to be experiencing, let it make you perfect and complete so that you lack nothing, but if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God. Okay, let him ask God. And so he knows that we're weak. He says, look, if you lack wisdom, here's what you should do. And we've learned from the book of Job what wisdom looks like. We've learned that man's wisdom fails, so we shouldn't be trusting fully on the sources that we have on this earth, the secular sources, and even Christian sources. Those aren't ultimate in their pursuit of wisdom. And we know that overall, wisdom is shown in fearing God, okay, knowing who he is and trusting him and living in light of him and obeying him. Okay, but with that in mind, no one should be saying, it says, if any of you lacks wisdom, none of you should say, oh, phew, if, okay, I'm wise, so I'm good with this. I don't have to respond this way in this trial. I don't think that's what James is trying to do. He's simply putting this forward. That would be prideful and ridiculous to say, thankfully, I don't have to acknowledge verse 5 of James because I'm one of those people who don't lack wisdom. Look, we all lack wisdom. And we all need to come to the Lord to look for it. So let me just ask you, think about this. What are some areas in your life that you might run into and say, you know, I could use some wisdom in this situation? What are some topics or areas of your life?
When someone else is having a hard time and they ask you for advice.
Good. Okay, someone comes to you and says, I need some advice with this. Good. That's a really good one. Haley.
Relationships, not just like dating relationships, but all kinds of relationships.
Yes, definitely. Relationships in general. And I would say, yeah, that can be in your friendships, it can be in your family. Yeah, definitely. Anything else? That's good, okay? It's good. It's good stuff. I would say also just in general trials. Anything that's a hard situation in your life. Academics, big decisions, those sort of things. We need wisdom. And you need to be people who can recognize that you need wisdom. We all know people who are those who are like, yeah, no, I got this. You know, and they can't be told that it can do wrong. It's like someone is changing a light bulb or something, and you've done it a million times, and it's their first time, but they're really prideful, and it's like, hey, careful of the way you're doing it. You're going to break it. I'm not going to break it. You're going to break it. I'm not going to break it. Oh, you broke it. Yeah, I broke it. You know, and it's like, just listen, and I can show you how to do this, you know? And you need to be the type of person who doesn't say, okay, I'm in a hard time in my life. No, I got this. I got this, and I can't use any help. You need to recognize that there are times that you need wisdom, and all of us need to. It's not like, you know, you get into college or you graduate high school or you go from junior high to high school or you know, I'm in seminary or youth staff or in jobs, and suddenly you just have arrived at the place where you don't need wisdom anymore. We all need it, okay? So some application to this question of when we should ask for wisdom. I know that some of you are in difficult positions this morning. And the first step in asking for wisdom is to admit that you need it, okay? Some of you might need to be a little bit humble and just say, you know, I need wisdom. And as much as you may hate it, junior high and high school is a place where you need wisdom, okay? And I know that a lot of independence is being given to you and a lot of opportunities and great things. You're given responsibility as you get older. It's awesome. But you still need wisdom. And if I can be honest, as much as I hate it, you know, early in marriage, early in ministry, doing school, it's a place where I need wisdom. And so we all need wisdom. And it's interesting that here we are again, talking about trials, talking about wisdom. And let's just stop and think, why has God been bringing this to our attention so often lately? I don't know, I can't speak for God, but maybe we all need it. You know, maybe we need to realize that we need to be humble and ask for wisdom, okay? So as we ask that question, when do you ask for wisdom? When you lack it. And it's going to happen often, okay? Second question as we look at asking for wisdom. So when do we ask? Now, who can give us wisdom? Okay, who can give us wisdom? And this should be easy. We've been talking about it a lot over the past few weeks. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God. And the answer, like I said, it's simple. And it's too simple, okay? In going through Job and in having this, like, we should have this Sunday school answer ready. Who should you ask for wisdom? Okay, how about, let's take it from the words from this text, okay? Let him ask God, okay? We should be going to God. And here's the problem. Well, the fact is so simple, so straightforward. For some reason, this response is hard for us. And there's many reasons. We might be too proud to admit that we need it, like we just said. We might trust other sources more and say, you know, I'm going to go to these sources first. And honestly, and this might be even one of the biggest ones for us, we forget. We forget. We go through hard things and we get all panicky and we start going to all these different things and who can we go to? And we don't go to God first. Okay, there are other good places that to go for wisdom. I mean, teachers and parents. You might go to a friend who you trust with the Word of God. Blogs and books that might have their time and place. But where's the first place you should go? It's God. And do you think about your own life as you hit hard situations? Do you ever just stop for a second and say, God, I need wisdom. Would you please give it to me? And I'll be honest, there are often times where I'm going through life and there's been a few days that are hard and I'm struggling with a decision and I stop and I think, did I actually like pray about this? Did I go to God and talk to him? Oh, I didn't. Okay, that's James told me that's what I should do. Why have I not been doing that? And you may actually hear sometimes when I pray up here and before preaching, when I pray for you guys, I often ask for wisdom and it comes out of this text. This text is like really impactful to me that first, I need to ask God for wisdom, and we all should, and we often forget. So you need to acknowledge that God is the one, and we've been talking about that. So in that, I've stressed a lot the otherness of God, like God is the one who has wisdom. We can't know him fully as much as he knows, and we can't hope to hold a candle from with our knowledge to God's wisdom. And I think sometimes that can come across as kind of this cold, like God's like some cold computer in the sky, and if we have the right password, then God will give us wisdom. And it's not like that, okay? And here's a passage that's going to prove that. He is personal, and we just have to ask. We just have to ask. And that's kind of the application for that question. In your struggles and your trials, do you ask? Is that something that's common for you? But to go against that idea of God being some cold computer in the sky, we get to look at this passage at God's character. Okay, so who do we ask? We ask God. Now, our third question, what can we expect when we ask for wisdom? And this is so awesome, okay? What can we expect? Listen to this. Let him ask God, this is verse 5, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. Okay, let's break that down. This is our God. First of all, this is a God who gives, okay? Do you realize that God wants to give? He is a giver by nature. He wants to give to his children. He's not looking to withhold things like, all right, if you do this and this, then I'll give it to you, okay? He wants to give. Second, okay, he's a God who gives generously. And this is a really interesting word. It's probably translated generously in your Bible as well. The word actually, what it really means is single or sincere. And we've been talking about in James how there's two ways, and there's heavenly wisdom and there's earthly wisdom. And so often we're torn between the two. We're wavering. And this is in contrast to us. God gives with a single focus. He's not going to waver on whether he wants to give to us or not. Okay, God's not like us in our inconsistency and our unfaithfulness that we often struggle with. God's not unfaithful. He's not inconsistent. He wants to give. It's a single focus that he will give. And yes, he also gives generously, but this is a contrast to even our own lives. So what can we expect when we ask God for wisdom? That he is someone who wants to give to us. that he's not looking for something in return. Like, I'll give this to you if, as long as you, you know, fulfill this and this condition. And he's sincere. And finally, he gives without reproach. Okay, the idea of without reproach, like, he's not going to scoff at us. Like, are you serious? Man, like, Beth, you're here again talking to me, asking for wisdom. Why? Like, again? I can't believe you need wisdom again. And he's not going to say, well, what are you praying to me about? You know, clearly you can't handle it. Just do it on your own and fail. No, he doesn't scoff, doesn't reproach. He wants to give. And guys, like, don't take that for granted. Okay, don't brush past those glorious truths of God. Christians, you have a God who wants to give to you and wants to give abundantly and particularly wants to give wisdom to you. All right? He wants to give wisdom. I think about how when I was a kid, particularly like in late elementary, junior high school, you probably have experienced this. You want to spend like an evening at your friend's house, go sleep over. Sometimes it's a weeknight in the summer or it's Friday and you're not. It's like last minute and you and your friend are like, oh, this would be a great idea if we got together. We have to get past our parents now, you know? And you have to come up with like a fancy way to ask them. Like, you know your parents, so it's like, you know, I'll come to them like when they're in a discussion with someone else and like spring it on them, you know? So it's like, hey mom, can I sleep over? Okay, good, and you run off, you know? Or if you know that maybe they'll respond to your reasoning and say, you know, I'll do all the chores and I'll do all this if you just let me sleep over tonight. You guys can relate with that, right? I used to do that all the time. I remember like just thinking in my mind, how can I phrase this question that my mom will say yes? Or you know what, maybe I should ask my dad this time because just the details of this situation would work better if he heard this, not my mom, you know? And God is not like that. You don't have to be conniving, like, okay, how can I get wisdom? If I ask with these right words, maybe if I come to him at the right time and confess all my sins first and then do my Bible reading, then pray, then maybe he'll respond. No, when you lack, as often as you do, ask, okay? Ask for wisdom. And here's the promise. It will be given. That's what you can expect, that it will be given. Do you believe that? Okay, do you trust it? I want to give you another passage that kind of just explains this same sort of character of God. If you were to turn to Matthew, okay, first gospel. The book of Matthew, chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through 11. He says this. This is Jesus talking. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, it will be opened. Okay, and listen to this. This is talking about God and his character. Or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Okay, so, in the future, if Beth and I have kids, you know, my kid comes and asks me for bread. Hey, Dad, can I have some bread or, like, a snack? It's like, here, kid, have a stone. Hey, who would do that? No one would do that, all right? Or if he asks for a fish, we'll give him a serpent. Okay, it's like, it's just this foolishness. Okay? No dad would ever do this. Okay, someone comes to the dad and says, hey, can I have a fish for a snack? It's like, here's a viper, you know? No one would do that, okay? Then he says this, if you then, who are evil, that's us, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Okay? And this is not a caveat to like give you, you know, just full like you can ask for anything. Like, okay, I need wisdom in this situation. Lord, please give me a truck. You know, that's not what it's talking about. Scripture is clear that we are to ask according to his will. And particularly here, we're talking about wisdom. But the idea is, look at God's character. And maybe some of you didn't grow up with great dads, okay? Or even having a dad. And it's like, I don't know if I can relate to that. Realize that God is the perfect Father. And he cares, and he loves, and he wants to give. And he wants to give wisdom. Now, I'm not entirely sure how that will play out. Okay, you say you ask for wisdom. And it's not. I don't think it's going to be some revelation, like God starts speaking in your mind. But here's some suggestions. Maybe it'll look like that God just gives you confidence about what the right decision is. Maybe you kind of had an inclination, this is where I think that God wants me to do according to his word, but I'm not sure. Maybe he gives you confidence. Maybe he brings the right person along at the right time. Yeah, it's happened to me a lot where it's like, ask for wisdom, I'm not sure. And just the right person talks to me and gives me advice and shows me from God's word. what should be done. Maybe you hear a sermon that you needed, okay? Maybe wisdom just looks like you just change your attitude and you realize that, hey, in this situation, it's a trial, I'm asking God for wisdom, and he helps you see what we talked about last week, that maybe this, or last time, that this maybe this trial is for my good and for my steadfastness. And again, like I said, it's realize that what God is saying he will give is wisdom. It's not that if you ask anything, he'll just give you whatever you want, because maybe your desires aren't in line with what he wants for you. So this is wisdom. If you want wisdom, just ask, and it will be given. And that's such an encouragement for us today, okay? But there is one final important warning. James wants us to think about this, okay? One final important warning. Okay, we've seen, when should we ask? Whenever we need it, okay? Who should we ask? God. And what can we expect? That he will give it. But there's one more thing. Fourth question. How should we ask for wisdom? Okay, look at verse 6. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. Okay? He says, let him ask in faith. Okay, this is a person who comes to God believing and trusting these things that we're just talking about. Believing that he is good, that he will give. And don't take this as a warning like you just have to work really hard to be convinced that this will work. Sometimes we are weak in faith. I think James knows that. But take what faith you do have and rest it in God and his character. And say, I'm coming to you, Lord, and I struggle with my faith sometimes. Help me believe and help me trust. In fact, there's a man in the Bible, in the New Testament, who says that. He says, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Okay, have that attitude of I trust that God will give. I trust his promises. I will be committed to doing it the way that God says. So if we are to ask in faith, the negative of that is no doubting. And again, this reveals James' concern about our double-mindedness, this being wholly committed to God's way, not being split between two directions. And James himself gives us a great illustration of that. So I don't have to come up with an illustration. He uses a simile. He says that those who doubt are like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. Okay, think of being out on the ocean. It's rarely calm, right? The wind is blowing and the waves are up and down and back and forth. There's this, and it doesn't have its own stability. It's whatever the wind does, it does. And James is saying you shouldn't be like that, okay? You should be steadfastly resting in what God has revealed, okay? And here's the warning, verse 7. For that person, the one who doubts and is broken between which way he should go, must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. Okay, this is the type of person who comes to the Lord not really believing that it will work. It's like, I'm going to kind of use it as a good luck charm. I'll fall back on it in the end just in case. But I'm really also going to do it my own way, and we'll see which one works better. James says, don't be that kind of guy. Don't be that kind of girl. Don't be that kind of student, okay? You must come to the Lord in faith. And you might be saying, okay, I do believe God, but honestly, I do doubt sometimes. And again, I'll say it again. We are weak. So come to the Lord acknowledging that, with that attitude of, Lord, I do struggle with unbelief, but help me to believe. And I'm trying to take this promise of Scripture that you will give wisdom, and I'm trying to hold that before you and say, Lord, I need wisdom. That is a response of faith, as opposed to, yeah, you know, I'm not even going to ask because I don't think it'll work. And we need to have that attitude of, I need wisdom, and Lord, help my unbelief. And the problem with a person who doubts is seen in verse 8. He's a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Okay, double-minded is this idea of double-souled. Someone who's committed to two different things. Okay, so I'm going to come to God on Sundays and use him as a good luck charm. And then during the week, I'm going to go out and just live however I want because I want to kind of have both options as a possibility. And that's what James is warning against. He's saying, you can't have it both ways. You can't both be wise in a heavenly sense and wise in an earthly sense. Okay? You must be committed to the Lord because he is wise. So here's what you should be asking yourself as you ask for wisdom. Do you really want God or do you want the world? You know, I'll try God today and then tomorrow I'll try some other methods and then whichever one kind of plays out for me in the end, that's the one that I'll go for. Because that type of person, James says, shouldn't really expect to receive wisdom. Because that's not the way that God has shown us to come to him. We are to come in faith. And James warns you if you are unstable and if you are trying it both ways and, you know, I'm gonna live for God one day and then just do whatever I want the next day. He says you're unstable. You're unstable and you need to have faith. And so it's the same idea that if God has changed you, He's put His Holy Spirit in you, there's a way that He has called you to live, and that is a way of faith. And here's a warning, just even from me. I just want to ask you guys, are you really following Christ? I do have a genuine concern that there could be some here who are that type of person, on the fence, going back and forth, that you're double-souled, you're double-minded. You say on Sundays that you come to church and that you want to follow Christ, but then the rest of your week is just, not really. I really actually am not committed to Him. I don't have faith. And I would say that's dangerous. And I would question you and say, are you truly single-focused putting your faith in Christ? Because that's what James calls us to. He calls us to taking the faith that we have and putting it in Christ. And if you're waiting to see how things go, like, yeah, you know, I'll wait till I get through high school and then maybe I'll commit to Christ. Maybe I'll ask Him for forgiveness. Guys, don't wait, okay? There is no time to waste, okay? There's no time. You'll waste so much. So come to the stability of God and put your faith in Christ and have your sins forgiven, all right? You need to put your faith in Him. Okay, but taking a step back, right? Step back. Our topic is asking the Lord for wisdom. Trials and wisdom have been all over our sermons lately. And I just say, take a look at your trials. What are you struggling with? Whether it's school or your family or your friends. Just have you stopped and have you asked God to give you wisdom? Because He promises to give it. And that's an encouragement to me. I'm so thankful that, like, there's a promise in here which God has put on Himself and His character to give wisdom if we would simply ask. It's so simple and it's encouraging, but we are so weak, okay? We can admit that. And so today, think about it and realize that this week, as you struggle and as you go through trials, James invites us to ask God for wisdom if we lack it, and He will give it, okay? And He'll give it. So, yeah, that's my encouragement to you today, and let's pray about that. And then, what time is church? Big church, get out?
11:15. Let's
meet in small groups until we start seeing parents come out. And then we will, and we can just separate. So youth leaders, just maybe a few minutes to talk about and pray about these things. Okay, let's pray. Dear God, thanks for this passage. We are so blessed and encouraged to know that You give wisdom to those who ask. And help us to ask in faith, because we struggle with our belief. If there are those here who have never actually believed in Christ, and they're waiting, and they're thinking, and they're on the fence, and they're showing themselves to be double-minded, double-souled, give them faith. Show them that they need Christ, and may they experience the goodness and the graciousness of our God. We thank You for Your character. Thank You that You give generously. We all need wisdom this week. Please give it. In Your Son's name.